Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from England, we have Sister Rose Rowling. Sister Rose is a novice with the English Dominican Congregation of St. Catherine of Siena, based in Cambridge. Her preaching today is entitled, The Law of Love.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Whatever we ask God, we shall receive, because we keep his commandments and live the kind of life that he wants. His commandments are these, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another as he told us to. Whoever keeps his commandments lives in God, and God lives in him. We know that he lives in us by the Spirit that he has given us. It is not every spirit, my dear people, that you can trust. Test them to see if they come from God. There are many false prophets now in the world. You can tell the spirits that come from God by this. Every spirit which acknowledges that Jesus the Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But any spirit which will not say this of Jesus is not from God, but is the spirit of the Antichrist, whose coming you were warned about. Well, now he is here in the world. Children, you have already overcome these false prophets, because you are from God, and you have in you one who is greater than anyone in this world. As for them, they are of the world, and so they speak the language of the world, and the world listens to them. But we are children of God, and those who know God listen to us. Those who are not of God refuse to listen to us. This is how we can tell the spirit of truth from the spirit of falsehood. A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Hearing that John had been arrested, Jesus went back to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and settled in Capernaum, a lakeside town on the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. In this way, the prophecy of Isaiah was to be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, way of the sea on the far side of Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people that lived in darkness has seen a great light. On those who dwell in the land and shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that moment, Jesus began his teaching with the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." He went round the whole of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing all kinds of diseases and sickness among the people. His fame spread throughout Syria, and those who were suffering from diseases and painful complaints of one kind or another, the possessed, epileptics, the paralyzed, were all brought to him and he cured them. Large crowds followed him, coming from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and Transjordania. One of the frequent criticisms leveled against Christianity is that Jesus freed people from the burden of the law by preaching the gospel of love, while the church reinstituted legalism by binding us to rules, regulations, and requirements. This interpretation offers only a one-eyed reading of scripture. For while Jesus did criticize an uncritical or hypocritical following of the law, he also says that he came not to abolish it, but to fulfill it. Perhaps more crucially, this assessment reveals more about our modern sensibility than it does about the Word of God. The phrase, "everything is a construct," has become one of the postmodern truisms of the humanities. This way of thinking means we can end up giving a cursory nod to the notion that law is only a human invention and be quick to draw an intrinsic distinction, indeed a dichotomy, between love and the law. For our Western understanding of love couples it with freedom, not obedience. But is there a conflict between love and the law? In response to such a question, Pope Emeritus Benedict's 2010 letter to seminarians said that love is a condition, law is a condition of love. Certainly, our Christian understanding does not pit the free giving of love with obedience to the commandments against each other, but sees them as mutually complementary, indeed necessary for the full realization of our vocation to love. Today, we have the occasion of hearing the letter of St. John, the friend of Jesus, referred to as the Apostle of Love, while also commemorating the feast of one of our Dominican brothers, St. Raymond of Penafort, the father of canon law. And reflecting on the words of St. John, in the light of St. Raymond's example, provides some interesting food for thought in regard to the relationship between love and law. In our first reading today, St. John gives us two decrees. We must believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he commanded us. Faith and love are the basic ingredients of any Christian life. But we quickly realize that what faith and love mean in principle and what they look like in practice is a subject on which we are divided as human beings. Luckily, God does not leave us to our own devices, for we have Christ and his church to guide us. In the first place, we can look for understanding faith and love in the Gospels. In our Gospel passage today, we basically find a summary of the entirety of Jesus' apostolic works on earth. He comes to preach, teach, and heal. These three actions are the expression of divine mercy. They are the incarnations of divine love. They are also intimately connected with the acts of faith and love. Jesus formed followers in faith by preaching to unbelievers and teaching those who had become believers. And he demonstrated his love through healing physical, moral, and spiritual suffering. Throughout the Gospels, we frequently see that faith and love act in synergy. Often it is the faith of a person that brings about their healing. This shouldn't be understood to mean that faith healing is the only available avenue, although the healing miracles of the saints do testify to the fact that sometimes Jesus' healing power continues to be exercised through them. Nor does it mean to say that those who are not healed do not have faith. The mystery of suffering is far deeper than that. Rather, it is a testimony to the fact that God's restoration of our brokenness seeks our final reintegration. It is holistic. God wants access to every part of us, to love every part of us. When we open ourselves to receiving God's love, we are enabled to give love in return, both to God and to our neighbour. This is what love looks like, to be with those who are suffering physical or moral wounds and to heal them through our merciful attitudes and actions. The Church continuously reminds us of our responsibility to the corporal and spiritual acts of mercy. And as St. John says, whoever keeps his commandments lives in God and God lives in him. Our obedience to God's word is the demonstration of our love. While as individuals we are called to live out the works of mercy in our lives, corporately as the body of Christ, the Church dispenses the sacraments, the supreme instruments of divine mercy. Today's Gospel also has a sacramental flavour to it, with its focus on the preaching of repentance and healing. The two have been held closely together in our own Dominican tradition, with the early friars combining the task of preaching with the sacrament of reconciliation and spiritual direction. For the aim was the holistic restoration of the person through calling to repentance, imparting the Lord's forgiveness through the sacrament of confession, and providing instruction for how to lead a better life. In sacramental theology, the sacrament of reconciliation and the anointing of the sick are both sacraments of healing, ministering respectively to man in his spiritual and physical nature. How do these works of preaching, teaching, and healing, and the institution of the sacraments, bring us back to the law which today's St. Raymond was first to codify and systematize? Canon law regulates the life of faith and charity in the Church. It aims to make the Church's theology practically applicable so that we are free and able to live the life of love in the world and in the Church. As the Jesuit priest, Father Justin Glynn says, there is no love in failure to give the oppressed a remedy, in denying accused people a fair trial, or in capricious decision-making. The law leaves space for listening to hurting people, for binding up the wounds of people damaged, all too often by rigid or clerical interpretations of law, and for redressing wrong, even, perhaps especially, where it is the institutional Church which has caused it. The Church's law facilitates her life of love by regulating justice. In Catholic social teaching, the aim of all just structures is fundamentally to allow for genuine friendship. And the most important friendship we can cultivate in our lives is with God, who calls us to union with himself in heaven. It is precisely our eternal happiness that canon law focuses itself on making possible through its administration and proclamation of God's love here on earth. May Saint Raymond pray and intercede for us, that we may live just and loving lives in God's service.